Vice President Joe Biden has sometimes disrupted the highly disciplined Obama operation. Nevertheless, he'll travel to New Jersey today to chair a meeting on the president's stimulus bill. And yesterday, he attended meetings with the president and the leaders of Pakistan and Afghanistan. NPR's Mara Liasson has this report on how Biden and the president make it work.
They're an odd couple, the cool, careful president and his verbose, often impolitic, vice president. But as Barack Obama told 60 Minutes recently, that's what makes the relationship work.
Joe's not afraid to tell me what he thinks, and that's exactly what I need and exactly what I want.
And in an interview yesterday in his West Wing office, Biden put it this way.
He wanted somebody with an independent voice who was, his phrase was fearless in the sense I'd tell him whatever he didn't want to hear. And I have not in any way restrained myself.
He certainly hasn't, in private or in public. But saying exactly what he thinks doesn't always work out so well for Biden. Last Thursday morning, for example, on the Today Show, Biden stepped all over the administration's carefully crafted talking points about the flu outbreak when he was asked what advice he'd give to a family member who was thinking about traveling.
I wouldn't go anywhere in confined places now. It's not that it's going to Mexico. It's you're in a confined aircraft. When one person sneezes, it goes all the way through the aircraft. That's me. I would not be at this point if they had another way of transportation, suggesting they ride the subway.
That was the opposite of the White House message, that the flu was a cause for concern, not panic, and that no travel restrictions for healthy people were necessary. Biden's latest verbal misstep went right into the 30-year catalog of his past gaffes, and the media had a field day.
Vice President Biden stirred up quite a storm this week.
This was just a classic gaffe.
This won't be the last time we hear what Joe Biden meant to say.
He's not a loose cannon. Sometimes he's a whole flotilla.
The White House message machine immediately went into cleanup mode. The vice president's office issued a clarification, and press secretary Robert Gibbs tried to undo whatever damage Biden may have caused.
Jake, I understand what he said. I'm telling you what he meant to say, which was that...
For Biden, one of the biggest adjustments from the Senate to the White House has been to understand that he no longer speaks just for himself. He speaks for the president. Yesterday, in his first interview since the flu flap, the vice president was chagrined.
It could have been said better. The irony is, I had my ticket to get on a train, and my son and my two grandchildren were getting on a plane, but I didn't do it well.
In fact, he did get right back on Amtrak the next day for his habitual trip home to Delaware. But in the hothouse atmosphere of Washington, the antenna were up. Would the vice president be quarantined or sent to an undisclosed location? Would the president show any displeasure with his number two as he had in the past? The answer came quickly. The day after the Today Show kerfluffle, Mr. Obama seemed to go out of his way to make it clear the vice president was still in his good graces.
So with that, I'm going to turn it over to another extraordinary member of my team, my vice president, Joe Biden.
It's clear the Obama team knew what it was getting with Joe Biden. Here's David Axelrod, the president's top political advisor.
Joe Biden is a guy who speaks his mind. I mean, Barack Obama knew that when he chose him for vice president. It's one of the reasons he wanted him, because he knew he'd be thoroughly candid. Now, sometimes that's a trait that gives you a little heartburn.
Even though it's clear that sometimes Biden's lack of verbal discipline irks the president, on balance, White House officials say, the drawbacks are far outweighed by the vice president's wisdom and experience. Again, David Axelrod.
Not only is he a master in terms of foreign policy, but he's got an enormously well-honed instinct for how everyday people live and a great sense of advocacy for them. So he's been a great resource in all the major discussions that have gone on in this White House.
And the president has given Biden a bulging portfolio of assignments. He's in charge of implementing the Recovery Act and the Middle Class Task Force, where White House aides say his ability to connect with working class voters is particularly helpful. He's always busy reaching out to his former colleagues in the Senate, whether he's lobbying for votes on the stimulus bill, encouraging the defection of a longtime Republican senator, or paving the way for the upcoming Supreme Court nomination. He often does diplomatic advance work abroad before the president travels, and just this week he delivered the White House message to Israel that it must embrace a two-state solution with the Palestinians.
You're not going to like my saying this, but not build more settlements, dismantle existing outposts, and allow the Palestinians freedom of movement based on their first actions.
There's always a fascination about the relationship between a president and his vice president. Is the VP pulling strings behind the scenes, or is he being pushed aside? Are there competing agendas? Here's how Ron Klain, the vice president's chief of staff, describes the dynamic between Biden and his boss.
It is an effective professional partnership. I think people are less concerned about what kind of buddy-buddy relationship exists between the president and vice president, more concerned about the fact whether or not they're working together to tackle the hardest problems our country has. The two of them do enjoy working together. They do have their weekly lunch together.
And this week, they had their lunch in a new location, a burger joint in Arlington, Virginia, instead of the fancy White House dining room. Biden said it was the president's idea.
I actually was in a meeting, and my staff passed me a note and said, "President's hungry." So I go down, he says, let's go get a burger. I heard from staff that the best burger place is just across the river. We rode in a limo, talked to each other, and actually got 10 minutes or so to talk about the business we had in mind at lunch, although it was not quite as commodious and easy as when we eat alone, but it was good.
It may not be buddy-buddy, but so far it seems to be working for both President Obama and Vice President Biden. Mara Liasson, NPR News, The White House.